matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
All right, everyone, I'm here with my very, very special guest, Freddie Williams. Freddie Jamila Williams. Freddie, please say hello.
Hello, 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 guys. I'm so glad to be back to talk about the stuff that's in the streets.
Yes, yes. Last episode, the 200th episode, if you guys were tuning in, I had mentioned that I wanted to do this segment called like Bagayo Grave, and I would always have a guest to do these talks with, right? These street talks with. And so this week we have the very special, the very amazing Freddie. She's no stranger to the According to RP stage. Those of you who this is your first time tuning in, Freddie has been on this platform on numerous occasions. And we actually also have another podcast called Relatively Speaking that we do together. We are kind of revamping that. So it's coming to a streets near you.
Yes, yes. Yes. So guys, so if you're listening to me right now, remember the voice, because on Relatively Speaking, be like, oh, I know that girl with the boy's name named Freddie. Yes, that's me.
Yes, Freddie Jamila.
Y'all, that's not my middle name, but...
The Jamila, offline, we were joking because Freddie had looked like she was in the witness protection plan. Witness protection program when we were trying to get all this together. And so I'm like, you know what? Maybe she's telling me something. Maybe she wants to be anonymous. And so Jamila Jenkins is her alias name.
So I was recording incognito in the beginning, but no, I'm showing my face. It's fine.
All right. So we have a lot to talk about today in these hot topic Bagayo Grave streets. Bagayo Grave, for those of you who were not listening to last week's episode, is basically like shit is real. It's real. Things are serious. Things are dire. Like it's crazy out here in these streets. And there's a lot of craziness happening in these streets. So we're going to talk about a couple of the hot topics that were trending at the end of 2023, entering into the beginning of 2024. That is really, I don't know, people are still talking about them, obviously, but I don't know. These things were like, I don't have any pearls on to clutch, but these were clutchable instances, right? Right.
These are things that you still think about and wonder, and obviously still ongoing, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be more. I don't think that we're going to hear the end of some of these things. So I think the first thing that I wanted to talk about today, we are fresh off of the heels of MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Let me give him his proper respect. Mm-hmm. But this year, I will say MLK Day did not get the glory. It did not get the reverence.
No.
It did not get the respect that it deserved. Like in curl, we would say passing a bêtise. Like they passed MLK in bitties this year. They played with his face this year, him and Coretta.
Right.
May their souls rest in peace.
Right, right, right. Because, you know, for those who are not following the whole Jonathan Major and Megan Good situation, the references that Jonathan has made towards Megan is just almost insulting, I think. Referring to her like that is his Coretta Scott. And, you know, it's funny because I think that even MLK's children have responded against these memes.
Yes.
You know, they were like, my mother was a freedom fighter before her. You know, like, what is going on here? I don't know. Your thoughts?
Yeah. The daughter came out and said, my mom is not a prop. So, you know, what makes this interesting is because while he was or still is fighting this, you know, sexual harassment assault case with the white woman.
Yeah.
in the papers, she indicated that he, or it came out rather, that he wanted her to be more like a Coretta Scott and a Michelle Obama. Like, he wanted the white girl to embody these women. So that's when it first came out, this Coretta business, was the fact that he wanted the white girl to be more like Coretta and more like Michelle Obama. Now, fast forward, you know, that interview that he had with Megan in the background playing, you know, probably the best role of her life, in my opinion.
Right. Because I think that she's definitely still a paid actor in this relationship.
Yeah, it's too much. And I've been a follower of Megan Good over the years. Not to say like I'm like her, like the biggest fan, but I like some of the movies that she's been
definitely.
In. But this is the best role. She needs an Academy Award, Emmy, Oscar, whatever they're giving out there.
Yeah, possibly an EGOT. I mean, the only thing she's been doing is singing.
Right. But during this interview, where she again was in the background, like watching intently as he put on this show, he said, you know, they asked him about, you know, Megan Good and their relationship and how it's been. And he was just like, it's amazing. You know, she's held me down like a Coretta.
Right.
And so that's when they're like, keep this woman's name out your mouth. This is the second time. First, it was with the white woman, which was disturbing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now you're out here. Like, is this the only thing you can think of when it comes to Megan?
Right. And the thing is, it's like, if we go back to the charges against him, as far as like, he was in a relationship with this white lady. I wish I remembered her name, but that's irrelevant at this point. I believe that the whole fight argument started when he was on the phone with another woman, possibly. And, you know, she thought that he was cheating on her, whatever, and tried to grab his phone. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is that, you know, in the internet web streets, they actually show a chase throughout New York City of all the different blocks and neighborhoods. It's like one meme literally shows them running through the five boroughs. It's like so much footage of this woman chasing him, you know, and then it's like the comedy behind it. And then therefore, now you're going to go ahead and take MLK's name and Coretta and like act like as though like you're this person of valor and whatnot. You're just a dude who got caught and the girl didn't like it. I got into a tussle. It happens. And here we are. Right. And now you're trying to flip it so that we forget what we saw. I mean, I saw it. If I saw it, everybody else saw it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all this is just, it is comedic, but I think it's just a lot of the hoopla is maybe to disguise, like to disguise and confuse what's truly happening.
Right.
Because number one, I mean, I know that Dr. King is probably flipping in his grave because Jonathan Majors has his wife's name in his mouth. That's number one. But number two, from the pictures that I've seen of Dr. King, I didn't know him personally.
Right.
But his sense of style was that of, you know what I mean? Like, he had a little sense of style. So I feel like for Jonathan, it's almost as if, even though Jonathan is not saying that he is a Dr. King, but he keeps saying, you know, he keeps referring to Coretta, holding him down, people holding him down like Coretta. It's almost as if he's thinking that, you know, well, I am King. Mr. King, Dr. King would never in his life wear the clothes that Jonathan Majors is wearing. He would not look like a sharecropper.
Listen, the dude looks crazy. I don't know who he's paying to dress him or if he's just literally putting the outfits on together by himself. I mean, at least I could say that Megan actually still looks good. Her name, right. Last name, Good. It works because lady always looks perfect. Auntie, on point. I'm sure if they was truly in a relationship, she would have talked to him and said that, listen, you're going to be out there. Cameras are going to be on you. Make sure that you look presentable.
Right.
This is why I feel like they're not truly in a relationship, because no black woman would let their man walk out looking like that. Sorry.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there is. And I think it might just be it's like a gimmick. I think, you know, I'm not an actress or actor or whatever, but I feel like people do take on these personas. And I'm wondering if this is something that he's doing, because I'm like, we're in the 21st century at this point. Again, even when MLK was alive, he wasn't dressing like a sharecropper, mm-hmm. the very people he was, you know, fighting for. Right. So I'm very confused at all of this. But the more I think I think about it, and the more we talk about it, I'm like, this has to all be some sort of like simulation of something. Right.
Right. Possibly a movie is going to be coming out.
Right.
You know, because it's
Coretta.
Right. You never know. I mean, isn't that how it is? I mean, the media, what they do is they prepare you. They prep you. Mm-hmm. You know, they show different things. Like, remember when Jamie Foxx was going through all the things that he was going through, right, his medical, you know, situation that he had. And, you know, everybody thought that Jamie Foxx was basically, you know, paralyzed and on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And then when he reemerges, he has like 5 movies under his belt.
Right, right. Right. And Jonathan Majors did lose a lot, you know, from this scenario. So it could be that. It could be, you know, listen, Megan, you one of the baddest girls in the game. I'm going to need you to play this part for me right quick. We're going to give you X amount of money to do so. And Jonathan, keep dressing like a sharecropper, mm-hmm, because the thing is, people are talking about it. We're talking about it.
Right. They needed to give us something to talk about, basically.
Right, right. But I think for me, I was a little disappointed at the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. Day was such a joke.
What do you even call it? Like, I feel dope. Like as though it was just insulting, you know. Yeah. And I'm sure that Black Twitter was going crazy.
I was all up in it. That's how I know how much of a joke and how much they played with this, with the King family name. Like, mm-hmm, from maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, I was seeing like memes. I was seeing they were cropping Jonathan Majors and like all these like old Martin Luther King pictures. Like MLK Day was literally a meme. If I could say one word, what does MLK 2024 mean to you? Meme. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah. And that's sad. That's sad because we don't want MLK to be trending because of Jonathan Majors.
Right.
You know,
like that man did a lot, even though, you know, it's coming out or it's been coming out in the streets that MLK was not the saint that we thought he was.
He's a man. But that's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
A man with power. Right. Isn't that how it always goes? It doesn't matter what title you may have, whether you're a minister, pastor, priest, president. It doesn't matter.
But it makes sense, though. It makes sense, the Jonathan Majors reference. Maybe he was signaling something. Because Dr. King is accused, or I say accused, from what I understand, like this is actual factual, that he was, you know, cheating with white women. Yes. And Coretta was holding him down.
And holding him down. Because that was the time back then, not excusing it. However, right, I wonder if Jonathan at that time when he was communicating with other women, maybe that was Megan Good on the other side of that phone.
You know what it is? That actually makes a lot of sense. Megan, because you know, people were like, where did Megan come from? Uh-huh. You don't just emerge from the ashes like a phoenix. Like, mm-hmm, where did she come from? He might have been laying the foundation.
Uh-huh. She was on that phone.
Mm. You heard it here first. You heard it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, and that's why she's holding him down like a Coretta.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Anywho, well, I can't wait to see what Black History Month 2024
it will bring, right?
Bring, because that is also a month where we talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his effort. I'm sure the meme creators, I wish I could be like them. They are so clever. I'm sure they're already in the lab working on 2024 Black History Month.
Right. In a minute, in a blink of an eye, I'll be here. And I'm sure there's going to be something else interesting to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of reverends and men of the cloth. You know, I always say that I don't want to speak on a man of the cloth, but then I'm like, what kind of cloth is he wearing? That's
What's under the cloth?
Question. What material was the cloth made with? Was it blessed? your boy TD Jakes.
Listen, don't talk about TD Jakes. No, we're talking about TD Jakes because the other day, my mom had him on, you know, what was that?
TBN.
Mm-hmm. I said, Mom, he's not it. He is not it. And then my mother proceeded to say, no, but you know, when people are reaching a higher level, people will make up stories and whatnot and this and that. And I said, I feel you, But on this case, I don't believe that this is a made-up story. I think that this has been a cover-up for years and years, and maybe 2024 is the year of the expose.
I mean, I am there with you. I do think that this is the year of the expose, and we'll go into obviously more conversation as to why we believe that. But I remember I was telling you offline, there was at least two or three churches that went viral on some ministers gone wild situation. One of them recently, the pregnant mistress of the pastor showed up to the church on Sunday morning to confront the pastor's wife, who I don't know, the Holy Spirit told her not to come to the building that morning or to be late. Yeah. They literally had to drag this pregnant woman out. Then it became such an uproar in the church where the first elder was like, you're out. You need to get out. We're ousting you. And the pastor was like, no, the church board rules say that there has to be. So it was a whole big back and forth. They had to call law enforcement. The police rolled up in the church and literally had to ask all the members to leave. And then as I think they were doing that, the pregnant woman came back in again and tried to storm the church. It was a whole big thing. And that's just the second or third of these things that's been happening in the last few weeks, I will say. So the TD Jakes thing, I don't know if it sparked a revolution of some sort. But, you know, they say what happens in the dark comes to the light.
Well, you know what? It is when, you know, unfortunately, especially in the Black church, there's a lot of things that, you know, it's all about pretense and pretend.
Right.
Not that I'm knocking the Black church by any means, you know. I love church. But unfortunately, I think that the standards are so high that people end up having to live these double lives, right? They may have feel like as though they had a calling. And I'm not saying that these people didn't have a calling at one time, but the enemy is tricky. It's going to go and look for the things that, you know, that entice you from the beginning, mm-hmm. right? Because like in TD's case or whatever, what we're talking about, if you've been under a rock, mm-hmm. basically that, you know, TD has been at the Diddy parties, and we all know what happens at the Diddy parties. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, now people are coming out and saying that he was there and he was indulging and, you know, in ways that when I say indulge, it's not with his wife, you know, and it's not even with a female.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of sad because I follow TD Jakes. I follow Sarah Jakes. You know, I was a Jake. What is it? A Jaker? I don't know.
A Jakester?
A fangirl? I don't know. You know, I followed these preachers, you know, and to see this happening right now, it's sad. And then also on the wife's end of it all, what she's doing is something that's been happening since the beginning of time. Whether or not if her husband was a minister in front of the world to see, we know of a woman just like that who's holding down her husband, who's having all of these extramarital situations, whether with man, female, and beyond. You yeah. know?
Yeah, it's...
I kind of feel sorry for her. I you know, it's like, I almost like, I don't even want to drag it, drag them. Because it's just I feel like I've seen this situation so many times. The only difference is that TD is visible to all of us. And you don't want to be linked to Diddy right now with anything.
Right, right. I think that's it. In that exactly everything that you said, I totally agree with. This is not, especially if you are somebody who understands the church, has been in the church, these scandals. Whether it's true or not, we don't know. But this TD Jakes situation, this is not the first time in history we have been confronted with this type of stuff, right? I think it's like you said, it's more scandalous, not even just because he's a celebrity, right? Because we've seen these white evangelicals go down as well.
Go down.
Mega churches, right? Mm-hmm. With the mega churches, big scandal in the white mega church world.
Right.
But it's even more salacious because you got Can't Stop, Won't Stop Diddy, Brother Love, Puff Daddy, Love.
See, you need to drop that name, Love, because you're just loving everybody. You know, you're just loving everybody. Go sit down somewhere because you're doing too much. Because, you know, I feel kind of hyped about that, too, because, listen, we was raised in the 90s. We was all at the parties or the clubs or whatever, dancing to whatever this man was putting out, whether it was directly Diddy or Bad Boy or, you know, we were there. I'm not going to front. But now it's like when I see him, I'm kind of like looking at him like R. Kelly, the same way that I feel about R. Kelly. When I loved R. Kelly, I went to like possibly two or three concerts of him. And now whenever one of his songs come on, I get like, you know, goosebumps and I feel like, ick. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, how did we get here?
Right. I am highly upset.
Offended.
Yeah, because my whole like I was definitely a Bad Boy fan, like I like all the artists. Oh. I was definitely a Bad Boy fan, so I'm just like,
what am I supposed to do now?
What am I supposed to do now?
Right. do I reject this movement or
do I rebuke renowned Turkey Diddy?
What do we do? Do we have the pastor sit down and then just continue on with, you know, the members? Because there was members. There was a whole bunch of them. We still follow them to this day. We want to know what's going on with everybody. Yeah. But you're making me feel ill right now every time I see you, you know? And then you got to go pull in the teeny in the process. Like, what is going on here?
You got to bring in the men of the cloth.
Like, right. You know that's why they don't take us seriously. That's how I feel. Like,
well, that's what the streets are saying. Yeah, you know? That's what the streets are saying. The streets, especially those who are not of the faith, like they love when these things happen because they're just like, this is what we were singing, y'all. Especially those who are like the alleged woke or whatever. I don't know what word to call them, but they're in the woke category of the Black community where they're like, yes, this is what your white God or your white savior, you know, does to your community. You know, are we now going to drop the white Jesus? Like, like, but if you were really a person of your word, you would know that the Bible does tell you to not set your sights on man.
And on it's man. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's the word of God. It's not even the church that's going to save you. It's your word and the relationship with God that's going to save you.
So, amen, sister.
Right.
Put that down, because people need to understand that, you know, we can't put anybody above God, and he is a man. And unfortunately, the enemy knows, like I said, what your triggers are. Mm-hmm. Because from my understanding, both of his wife's sons from a previous relationship are also gay. We're not saying that TD is gay, but, you know, allegedly. But we do know that the children, the two boys in her previous relationship, are out. And from my understanding, she had a podcast years ago before all of this allegation had even came out, saying that, you know, in the Black church, like the gay lifestyle was frowned upon, especially during the early 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, they actually had someone come in to, quote unquote, cast out the demons. And therefore, the two sons were there. And I guess when the spirit got really hot, that TD got uncomfortable and he would leave the room. And so when I heard that, and this was like a podcast that his wife was speaking on, this is way before all these allegations came out. And so I thought to myself, I was just like, because, you know, the problem is, you know, when you go to these places and they're trying to cast out spirits and everything, maybe he felt like he might have been exposed himself, because the reality is, you know, they may try to cast out those spirits. Those spirits may not come out, but maybe the spirit that's in him might come out.
Listen, I mean, he was out here asking the congregation if they've ever been swallowed up.
Jesus.
we don't know at this point.
I need biblical reference for that.
We don't know what he was referencing. It could have been a double entendre. We don't know what's going on. But it was interesting to me, like, okay, the allegations came out, you know. I mean, I think I had sent you the one meme about the Pixar movie, Power Bottom.
Yeah. I didn't want to say the term, but I knew it was going to come out eventually.
Listen, me and my friends, you know, I have different groups and different chats. We were all like, what is a like the amount of research?
I've never heard of anything like me that. Neither. And I was afraid to Google because I was afraid what would come up on my computer. You know what I mean?
Listen.
So like, I don't want to leave no traces of
that. The amount of research that went into finding out what a power bottom was. At this point, I'm an expert, I think. Between my friends and I, we're experts because we're just like, what is that? Like, what is that? So between, you know, the memes and the allegations and all these other things, I know that I think it was the Christmas. Yeah, it was the Christmas church service where he addressed it by saying he wasn't going to address it, but addressed it.
Right.
And we're just like, bro, because he was like, even if I did. And I was like, no. You messed up right there, sir.
Right. You shouldn't have said
that. Messed up right there. You already was like, I deny these allegations. You can't be on some, but if I did, you know, God forgives anyways. It's like.
Then sit yourself down. Okay. If you did, listen, we all human. Everybody got a thing. Maybe that is your thing, whatever. But maybe you should sit down because right about now it's too hot. Let Sarah Jakes take over for a little bit. Yeah. Sarah Jakes, at least from my understanding, was very honest about all her discretions growing up. Because like mm-hmm. I said, I used to follow her. She always says that she's not a saint, that this is all the things that she's done. Mm-hmm. And then so therefore, if that means that Papa Jakes has to sit down for a minute to kind of like regroup, mm-hmm. figure out where he's going, kind of detach himself from the Diddy brother love fiasco that continues to go on,
right,
that's been going on, and more people are coming out of allegations and abuse and mm-hmm. all of that stuff parties. Like that, right? And the thing is, it's just like, you know, the problem is like with these parties and stuff, it's quote unquote a party, you're invited, and then all these activities happen. Let's just say he went to the party not knowing, because like I said, it was a time that people were doing everything. You're a pastor. What are you doing there to begin with?
Hello.
And that's what they were saying. They were like, they showed so many pictures of him and Diddy together, like posing, nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. However, probably you were better off not attending these parties.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, if it was a wedding or something, you were officiating a wedding, that's part of your duty. That's different. But these after hour parties probably was not a good place for you to be at.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying, you know, because now it's just like, no matter what, even if these allegations are not true or whatever, it's kind of leaving a bad taste to the people who are following. And once again, like you said, you know what I'm saying? Being a Christian, I'm a Christian. Anybody who asks me, I'm a Christian. People will come back and be like, see, this is why people don't go to church. And I'm like, you're right. This is why people don't go to church. This right. is why people don't, you know, go and have a relationship with God, because they're busy looking at you looking crazy right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, it always comes down to discernment, right? Because growing up, these were the sermons that the pastors were telling us. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't do it, but birds of a feather flock together. It doesn't matter if you didn't participate, but why were you in the building? Why were you on your way? Why were you? So for me, it's the discernment piece. Again, we're all human. We all fall short. And, right. and that's understandable. But unless he was, maybe he was Diddy's personal minister, I don't know. And that would be the case. But why are you at? Why are you at parties with where you know the drugs are happening, where you know sex parties are happening? Like, these were not, it wasn't like we're now discovering that Diddy had wild parties. We always knew that Diddy had, like, was part of a world. We just didn't know to the extent of it now because people are now coming out. But it's the same thing, in my opinion. Well, maybe not the same thing, but I'm thinking, as I was thinking about the discernment piece, I'm thinking about our dear mayor. Who likes to be out here? No. Party. Meanwhile, crime is rampant.
That's your mayor. I'm in New York State. I don't live in New York City. Just let's clarify that. Because this man really thinks that he is like the player from the Himalaya, and he's out here like he's on some rap video.
Yo, so
you have to
hold his drink like this.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
What are you doing? Why don't you worry about the migrant situation and like go sit down somewhere?
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. Like, it's the discernment. It's like, and it's that semblance of impropriety. Like, in the law, you know, they tell us that, you know, it's when we talk about conflicts of interest, right? It's not to say that if I hung out or went to this particular place or donated to this particular, like, organization that I'm necessarily in alignment with all that they're doing, or that I'm even aware of everything that they're doing.
Right.
But it's that proximity. It's just like if I was a judge, which, you know, happens all the time, I think we're judges, they have friends who are doing certain events and certain programs. They would love to go, but because they do not want the perception of either bias or whatever the case is, they have to refrain from going at certain places, participating, even lending money to certain organizations. The organization could be amazing, but because they have to remain neutral, unbiased, they cannot donate because it might give a sense of, okay, they're looking to get something from me and I'm also looking to give something. Like, it's that idea of impropriety. And I think that with ministers, especially in his visible position, you have to exercise discernment. So for a preacher to be in the game for as long as he's been, and to do some of the works that he's done, that lack of discernment for me is troubling as a member. If I was a member of, like, you know, his flock, because it's like, if anything, I need you to be at like that level of discernment, because you are literally like the shepherd here.
Absolutely. And like I said before, I feel that the enemy knows what everyone's triggers are. TD has definitely gotten to a level that's like he's a mega church. And so therefore you're going to be around a lot of people that are in the industry, whether it's music, whether it's movies and TV and whatnot. And I think that possibly there's some starstruckism, if that's even a word, where it's like, wow, like, little old me, you know, who was a preacher from Texas, is now being invited to these parties and this and that or whatever. And then now you're in this position of like, I'm enjoying myself, because if you are quote unquote living a double life, now you're being exposed to things that possibly that you were not exposed to, and just continued on the path of the cloth.
Right.
And once you're in, now it's hard to go back. Right. Now, and unfortunately, a lot of these places, there's nothing that's being done where people are not taking video, they're not taking pictures and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And I believe it's a little bit scary. I think that, like you said, with the whole discernment thing, I think that he possibly got ahead of himself. And I don't know. I pray that this is where it stops. I pray that it doesn't go any further, that there aren't any other allegations where not only were you partaking in, let's say, extramarital situations, but there's no allegations of you actually assaulting or raping someone, right? Because there's this thing where it's two consenting adults, even though he's a minister. If there was two consenting adults, at the end of the day, we can't do nothing about it. But now if you're being accused, like, you know, Mr. Love is being accused of things, then that takes it on to even other level, worse level, right?
Yeah, I think that's the concerning part. I mean, I'm sure that there are many more allegations to come. I just hope that they're not of the genre that we're seeing with Diddy Love. And all of the shenanigans that he's going through. Like, it's a real interesting, you know, I think the church is in a very interesting state. Like you said, the devil knows. It came to mind, like, one of the other viral moments was the Atlanta church that was swagging and surfing.
Yes, in Atlanta.
For New Year's. They were, you know, and it wasn't like, because some people would be like, oh, you know, it wasn't just the instrumental. They went in on the lyrics, you know, I'm on hypnotic, you know, exotic, like that was all that was like being said. And so it's one of those things where I understand that the churches are trying to be a little, they're trying to modernize a bit so that they can capture, because somebody was like, well, it's better that they were swagging and surfing in the church than swagging and surfing in the club and getting shot up. But I'm just like, at some point there is like this line. And I think that with the whole TD Jakes thing, I think that's why, you know, people are just like, there is a line. And it's like, if everything is blurred, how do we regain that respect and that faith? But I think to your point, if the allegations become much more serious, and again, not saying that what's happening right now isn't serious, but if they rise to the fact that now we're hearing about rape, mm-hmm. I think that's where things may literally like hit the fan even more for him.
Right.
And it's gonna be detrimental, obviously, for the victims and society, whatnot. But I think the church community will also be, you know, very, very, disrupted.
Right, because they're already divided right now. Because you know they said that there's been allegations of this going on for a long time in the church, and there are people who have left the church because of it, and others who just don't want to believe it because they're seeing it as though, how is his wife still staying there, you know, being with him? But then there are other people that were saying that she was a single mom with two young children, and TD met her and he accepted the children, and that's why she stayed, and that he provided a lifestyle that she did not have before. People didn't want to talk about that because, listen, he has a mega church, so the man is bringing in money. You know what I'm saying?
He's a millionaire.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She's not in these streets, you know, living in a one-bedroom apartment. They have a mansion. They're flying here. They're flying there. You know, yes, they may have like the cloth on their side. So
Gucci cloth.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? But they are not the, you know, regular people that we communicate with.
Right.
So therefore, this is a lot, and she's not leaving that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I understand that to an extent. I mean, thank God I've never had to, I guess, put myself in that position, but I understand, I guess, in her mindset, like, you know, some people are like, I'm never going to go back to being broke. I'm never going to go back to being in the gutter. I'm never going to, especially like, I have these kids, I have to do what I got to do for my kids. So yeah,
And with that being said, we don't know what their household looks like. Maybe they're sleeping in two different bedrooms.
Right.
Like, you know, whatever you do, just don't embarrass. Listen, I've heard this so many times before. Whatever you do, just don't embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's like Greenleaf.
Yeah. It's like Greenleaf, my show. Oh my God. She's basically Lady May. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like at this point, I feel more than anything, I don't even feel like as though I feel angry. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for her, and I feel sorry for him.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, Mr. Jakes. Eh bien.
Et.
So, you know, this all came up obviously because of Brother Love Diddy. I am very interested in seeing how this plays out, more so on the interwebs in the theaters, because 50 Cent has promised us a biopic surviving Diddy. And I know that offline we were trying to like figure out who would star in this surviving Diddy biopic.
Listen, you know, it's so funny that when we spoke about it, I really feel like if 50 was to do this movie, it would have to be a no name. I don't think that anyone can be able to carry on, you know, Brother Love's whole life, because it's a lot, right?
It is a lot.
And I think that if this person plays the role well, it will shoot him to stardom. Because it's a lot. The man, because if we wanted to do like a Black History Month, right? And we put like Diddy as like one of the people who came from the bottom. Remember, he was a backup dancer. You know what I'm saying? And from a backup dancer, then all of a sudden now, you know, you was with Uptown Records. I know the history. Uptown Records. And then from there, then you created Bad Boy. You had Biggie. You had Lil' Kim. You had all these different artists. And he was making money because you thought you was an artist too. That's another story for another day. So now you have to have this person be able to play this character and also be able to play a span of 20 years.
Right.
It's been about 20 years that he's been out in these streets doing the things that he's doing, you know? So I don't think it would be a known actor like how we know, you know? It would have to be a no-name actor to play this role, this complex role, because it's like P. Diddy is like R. Kelly, the one who was loved by many and also now hated by many.
Right. And I think that, you know, when you talk about the complexity I don't know why Dahmer popped in my mind. Wow. Because, you know, over the years, we started hearing more and more and more about like the dark side of Diddy, right? And then with the Kim Porter, you know, passing, may her soul rest in peace.
Yeah.
A lot more. Some people will say conspiracy. We don't know at this point what it is, but alleged, you know, conspiracy to an extent. There's a lot that's being woven together right now. And I feel like Diddy being the champion of all this, because he from day one has been like, this man ain't who y'all think he is.
Right.
He may know a lot more. I'm convinced he knows way more than the rest of us know, right? Because he's also in the industry. Like, he also has like connections to know what we don't know. So I feel like the person who does play this role as well too, like, we're not just gonna see the, you know, the Diddy who came from the bottom. Now we're here in terms of like, you know, the business mogul. I think we're going to see like the dark side of Diddy play out as well too in this particular role. Definitely. And so it's interesting though, because with the R. Kelly you know, biopic, like, it was very triggering to many, right? Because I mean, he's in jail right now, right? He did things. And so I think with the Diddy being another, like, people could argue if they want, but we loved Diddy for the most part, right? Like, whether it was him particularly or like the artist, we always talk stuff about him, like, his artists never prosper, right?
Right,
like,
right. Or they're not here anymore.
They're not here anymore. So there's always, I think as we're getting older, I don't want to say the love for Diddy is like waning. I think we are just hearing a lot more now. Back then, what did we know about, like?
And we didn't have social media. So there was no way to be able to get into people's lives.
Right.
Like, now everything is out there. Whatever you want to know, you can find out. You know what I mean? And I feel like what really was triggering about the whole thing is when, you know, Cassie and the transcripts and in detail of the things that he made her do, the sexual abuse, the torment, the having her do things with other people, the physical violence. These are all the things, the accusations that they had with R. Kelly, as now it's coming out.
Right.
With Diddy. And that's the scary part, because people may say, oh, there's people with money, you know, people with money, they do crazy things, they have crazy parties. Yes, if it had stopped that there, but now people are accusing you of harming them. Like, you did things to them. You hurt them. This woman was in a relationship with you for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? 10, 11 years. And she had to endure things. And possibly people may say, oh, well, she stayed anyways. Because, you know, people like to blame the victim, right? Oh, well, if it was that bad, then why did she stay? You know, I'm like, well, why did your mother stay with your father was abusing your mother?
Right.
Listen, she's a woman. He's a man. He possibly provided things, probably pulled her out from wherever she was from. But then at the same token, possibly she was afraid to say anything because she thought that people wouldn't believe her, or there were witnesses and everyone remained silent.
Right. Which sounds like that's what happened, because these parties seem like they involved many from the industry. It didn't seem, this was not like in my closet, nobody knows what's going on. Like, people were participating in this debauchery. So
all the way to the top to all the way to the bottom, from the security guard all the way to the president of whatever record label to, you know, people flying out to islands and all that other stuff. Everybody knew what was happening, and people paid to keep people's mouths shut. And someone was saying, you know, they were saying that, oh, maybe Puff didn't pay his quote unquote bill. I'm not going to say the word, but you know, it starts with an I and ends with an I, but you know that bill. He didn't pay that bill.
He didn't pay that bill.
So then now everything is being exposed. You know what I'm saying?
Listen.
So it's like, listen, there's a price to pay for everything. And I think maybe his ticket is up.
There is a price to pay for everything. You don't remain invincible forever, as we have seen time and time again in the industry. I think for me, you know, when I was looking through social media and looking at the comments with respect to all of this, not just our community, but people do love to victim blame. And I think when first people were upset that Cassie even brought up the lawsuit, like, oh, if you're a real victim, why are you looking for money? Then when the settlement happened and she ended up dropping, you know, the case, they were like, oh, you see, she just really wanted money and all this other stuff. And they were like, you know, if she was truly a victim, like, this would not be her route. But like, what people don't understand, like, I used to be a domestic violence prosecutor. And again, it's something that rich, poor, like, there's no like socioeconomic class that, you know, that is more likely than another. Like, it is what it is, right? The criminal justice system, when it comes to prosecuting these kinds of cases, like, it not only is it daunting, it doesn't always happen the way that people expect it to happen. You know, it's not a process that is kind. And oftentimes, again, you are asking a jury of your peers to make a decision. And just because they make a decision doesn't mean that it's the right decision. And so true justice, yeah, people would love to feel exonerated where it comes out that this person's being convicted and is being brought to jail. But that's not how it always works. And so, yeah, no amount of money could take away the torment and the pain for all those years. But guess what? That lawsuit, or the lawsuit that she had pushed forward, the settlement hurt him.
Yeah.
It hurt him, one, because he had to give up some coins. But look at his reputation.
Right,
look at
his reputation. Yeah.
Look at everything that he lost.
Everything, like, I feel like all of the revolt, Macy's, what it was, his Sean John line, they dropped him.
The charter schools that he was associated with.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Ciroc yet, but possibly, you know what I mean? It's kind of, how do we say it? Because from my understanding, I know that there was like a disclaimer or something by, this case had to happen before the year was out, mm-hmm, by Thanksgiving. And this is the reason why she did it, right?
Yeah, there was the New York Survivors Act that I think, I don't remember if it was the 26th or whatever the date was, but it did give survivors a year. And that means, like, if it was from like the 90s or whatever the case is, like, it gave the, it allowed people to come forward and bring a case against their accusers.
Mm-hmm.
So, or, yeah.
In New York.
It was New York State. So we were seeing a lot. That's why we were seeing so many. But the thing is, I think for me, what I was hearing was that, you know, oh, people are just trying to get things in. But no, like, unless you've been a victim of, you know, sexual assault, domestic abuse, like these types of things, these are things that will carry with you for the rest of your life, right? You know, just because it happened to you 20 years ago doesn't mean you actually forget, doesn't mean it doesn't hurt as much. And also, like, there are circumstances around being able to outcry, right? Not everyone had either the confidence, not everyone had the ability. We don't know who was, you know, whose foot was on whose neck. Like, mm-hmm, just because it happens doesn't mean you're like, oh, I'm going to come out. I'm going to be able to come out and just say something.
No, it doesn't. This pretty much, I know people who've gone through stuff like this, possibly, you know, obviously it's not because it's a person we may know who did it to them, but it may have happened to them when they were a child, or it may have happened to them when they were dating someone, like in Cassie's situation, where it's just like, how can you call this rape if you guys are already sleeping together?
Right, right.
People don't understand that, you know, when no is no, and what he was doing, and he was bringing other people into the bedroom. And that they're like, the levels of just disregard for her feelings, and, you know, like, she was a prop, you know what I'm saying? And I say to myself, at this day and age, I'm like, are there no longer diseases anymore? I remember back in the day, we had to, you know, be afraid, you know, for catching some form of STDs. Have they been erased? Because, well, I don't understand the behavior, what is going on here. And I'm sure that they weren't protecting themselves when they were just doing all of these things, and, you know, everybody and their mother, you know, it just boggles my mind. Am I too old? Is that what it is? Like, I don't know what's going on out here in these streets.
I don't think that's what it is, but we are talking about Diddy, who could have had everybody tested. Who knows, like, what kind of kits were already there? They probably had a doctor.
What is that?
STD test.
No. What is that?
The NDA. Yeah.
Yeah. They get them signed something.
Yeah. So I've read about this in other cases of people who did not even have the level of celebrity as Diddy, where they had everybody sign NDAs, but they also had like either an on-site doctor. They did like the test because you could test for STDs within minutes now. So these are not like, these are not like, you know, like random, you know, Diddy's not stupid to have like this random crackhead on the street come in and do whatever. These people have probably been tested and swabbed for the most part. He had an on-site doctor. I would not be shocked if he had all of that. And I think that he also was lining people up. So it wasn't like as random as we thought. Like these were all, because even with some of these interesting sex clubs that I've learned about in like even in the city, like you have to go through like testing, like every like there's like process for the nastiness and for the get down. And so I think at the end of the day, like with the Cassie thing and even the other people that have come forward as victims that Diddy has settled with, it's power and control at the end of the day. It's power and control. And Diddy had the power and the control over Cassie. So as easy as people are like, I would have just walked away, unless you've been in a situation where you have been dominated, because it's a psychological thing.
Definitely psychological. You know? And the levels of power and perversion is I don't even know how to even explain it. Because, I mean, unfortunately, Cassie's a victim. And Diddy is the type of person that is out here that's I guess you would call a predator, right? You find somebody, you make them a victim, you buy them the world. You start off by buying them the world, showing them nice things, this and that or whatever. Yeah. And then you start to pull back the envelope, push back the envelope and see how far I can go. Even with Kim Porter, you know, I'm not saying that everything that he did with Cassie did with Kim, but I mean, he was accused of breaking her nose, I heard in one video, allegedly. So I don't know. This man is one to watch, because it seems like the story is not going away. There's so many allegations against him. I believe that there are some cases that are open now in California. Men involved. You know, it's just, it's scary times, because like I said, that these are people that we used to look at as like heroes, hip hop heroes. I don't know what you want to call it, but these were people that we used to enjoy watching. We were there talking about take that. You know what I'm saying? We were there with the shiny outfits and the videos and all that stuff like that. And it's like now we're just looking in horror now that these people are turning into their 50s and beyond. All of these things that were in the dark are coming back out. And I know that people are kind of like waiting to be like, oh, I better not be part of this expose. You know, even if they were there at the parties, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Stuff about Aaliyah's coming back out. You know what I'm saying? Right. I loved me some Aaliyah. Till this day, I'm just like, something ain't right with that situation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of like, but once again, I feel sorry for Cassie. I feel sorry for Kim. And anybody else who crosses this man's path.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if it goes as far as Bill Cosby, if it goes as far as R. Kelly, like where there's actual, you know, I don't know, like charges that stick to the point of a trial, like a Diddy trial. I don't know. Because I never thought that I would see the day that I would see Bill Cosby, you know, stand trial and get convicted. I never thought I'd see the day.
Because we're R. Kelly. To Bill Cosby. I mean, we all watched the Cosby show, right?
Yeah.
And you saw Camille stood by her man throughout the whole process. Bill Cosby's to the point that he was in jail and he was blind. So it's just like, they'd be like, okay, we may not get you now at the age of 50, but there's still time. As long as you're here, you know, we might catch you at 70. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when we don't longer need you, because right about now, we might still need you. So we're going to let you take that, pay some money, and then, you know, quote unquote, live on with your life. And then possibly something else may come out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's quite interesting times. So all of that, you know, everything that we've talked about so far had like ended 2023. And then obviously have trickled into 2024. But that was like the end of 2023 was just like every day was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mm-hmm. But then we start 2024 with another like clutching pearl moment with our you know, little friend comedian Cat Williams, right? And I have not had the time to sit down and watch the 3-hour interview that he had on Club Shay Shay. But I've seen enough.
You've seen enough, right? I tried to watch the whole video. I think I got like 45 minutes in and I was just like, okay, my head is spinning. I can no longer watch anymore. It was just like it was almost like as though someone put a battery in his back and was like, go, you know? Yeah. And he just was exposing people from, you know, the comedian world. That's something that people don't normally do because nobody's really talking about them. Like, that's, you know, true. What I'm saying?
You don't.
And it's just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Steve Harvey and his hairpiece? Like that whole time when he had that show where he was the principal or whatnot, they said that was a headpiece. Like,
It was a toupee.
Yes.
It was a toupee.
I said, but you know what? I was like, it makes sense because it was just too perfect. It was like an eraser. So I said that, wow, you know. And then he also said something about Kevin Hart, saying that Kevin Hart was a plant. And I was like, wow. But I'm like, I like Kevin Hart. Maybe is that the reason why I like him? Because he's not from, you know, where everybody else, quote unquote, came from. And as far as like, you know, comedy level, I mean, I like Kevin. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm okay with Kevin Hart. I mean, he has funny moments. I wouldn't say that he's the funniest.
No, give me Martin. I think Martin is the funniest.
Yeah.
But I don't believe he spoke about Martin though.
I didn't remember. Yeah, I don't recall him talking about. Well, no, he brought up Martin in the sense where he talked about the, you know, all that made a deal with Hollywood. That's why they all have like light skin or
the girls, they all have the same.
So he did mention him, I would say, in that sense, which would also indicate that he's in the pocket of Hollywood for him to even drag him into that. I mean, Cat Williams dropped a lot of bombs. And to your point, we don't really hear too much of what goes on inside of the world of the comedians, although there have been grumblings of Steve Harvey for a while. A lot of people have started to kind of dislike Steve Harvey over the years for whatever it was that they were hearing, but like that he wasn't genuine. But I think for me, it was some of the other comedians where like Faison, like he really went in on Faison. Faison clapped back. When I saw, you know, the guy from Hanging with Mr. Cooper, I almost forgot about him. Like,
yes, he compared Steve Harvey and Mark Curry, and he said that basically Steve Harvey went ahead and took his the actual plot of his show and recreated it, and then he carried on. Because I was like, oh yeah, you know what? That's right. Mr. Cooper was a principal. Steve Harvey, he was a principal. Like, I didn't even make the comparison.
Right.
You know? And I think that that's what Cat Williams was saying, in the sense that nothing is original. That even Cedric the Entertainer went and saw him at a show, and then 2 or 3 years later, he did his stand up word for word.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the comedy beef and how because that is literally like, you took this from me. No, you took that from me. No, your wife is light skin and all you guys are in. I think so. A lot of people saw Kat as being bigger because it's like, bro, like you're just mad that however they got to where they got. But Kat is like, oh, I'm not bitter. I was just saying I wasn't going to bend over.
Right. I wasn't going to bend over and I wasn't going to allow people to lie about me. I guess that they were saying that because I remember at one point several years ago, I feel like Cat Williams was like found in the street looking disheveled and saying that he had mental illness and drugs and whatnot. And so, and he was saying pretty much that he never took drugs and this and that or whatever the case may be. But we could say the same thing about Martin Lawrence. Remember at one time they found him disheveled and whatnot, you know, and I don't know if, unfortunately, people who are in entertainment, that's something that seems to be common, you know, because I'm sure the drugs are, you know, open and free for everyone. And they probably do need, whether it's drugs or alcohol, they probably do need something to loosen them up so they can continue to keep on playing this character. Because you're a comedian, you have to play a character. What's that other comedian that was a truth teller, so to speak, that he, what is his name? The one with the dry lips for, he had like one skit where he had dry lips and whatnot.
Oh.
Wall had, what is his name?
You're talking about my boy Dave.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Like, he's the GOAT for me. That's why I'm like, I don't even know.
Listen, Dave Chappelle is the truth teller. He says his jokes, it's dry, but he's telling the truth, right? And then at one point, remember, he had to quote unquote leave Hollywood because they said that he had mental illness. So I feel like as though like the paradox between like the rest of the entertainment industry does not stop with the comedians. Even Tiffany Haddish, didn't she had a skit or a stint where she was kind of cuckoo? I don't know what's going on. I feel like as though maybe Cat William has a little bit of bipolar in him. I don't know. Maybe he's spewing things because he's having a manic episode. But he looked like he was in control, though.
Well, that's the thing. I don't. So I believe everything that Cat Williams says.
Oh, yes. Because he's a Virgo.
Yeah.
Virgos tell the truth. We try to. Anyway. And I'm a Virgo. Hey,
I don't know. I did.
I know.
I don't know.
Jada's a Virgo, too. And I don't know if she was telling the truth either, but I'm not going to claim her. I ain't claiming her.
Right, I don't know. Because y'all Virgos are quite interesting. But I don't know if it I think we have to go back to your chart, girl. You might not be a Virgo.
No, I'm a Virgo. Virgos be standing on business. What we say is what we say. You know.
Yeah, but
I mean?
Sometimes what you y'all be standing on business, all right? And that business be not businessing. You're probably the only like straightforward Virgo that I know.
We got Michael. We got Beyonce. We got people. You know, we got Nas. We got people. Listen, not all.
No.
We might have started right, and then we went left.
Y'all went left. Y'all went left.
Cat kind of went left.
Yeah, Cat went left. But I actually believe. Let me just say. I believe the majority, at least of what I've heard. I believe. From what I've heard,
it was conviction and what he was saying, right?
Yeah.
Smiley, he brought up Ricky Smiley's name so many times that I was just like, this is personal.
Yeah.
Like, why does he continue to bring him up? He was saying Ricky Smiley. And Steve Harvey and the third one. Oh, and Cedric the Entertainer made some type of weird pact or whatever. And so therefore, that's why, you know, that they've been able to advance so far in this genre. But I don't know. I don't see Ricky Smiley that much. I know he has his radio show. Oh. I see him on Instagram. I don't really see him on movie and TVs like how Steve Harvey has. Steve Harvey now, yes, he has skyrocketed because he's not only doing stand-up. He has Wheel of Fortune. What is that? Family Feud. He has like had some judge show. He's like every time when they can't find a black host, you know, they're like, let's call Steve Harvey. Like he's on speed dial when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? So definitely I see that Steve Harvey has definitely skyrocketed his career. He also had mentioned that Steve Harvey was never homeless and living in his car. And I thought to myself, I was just like, you know, I guess maybe that was a good story to sell. I don't know if that's true or not, but Steve Harvey talks about that time in his life a lot. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's, you know, you could never really tell because, you know, what we've seen over the years is that people have created narratives that they felt would garner sympathy, would garner like, you know, connection. And I mean, I would hate to believe that he would make such, you know, up such a story just to like get likes and to get sympathy from the community. I mean, we've seen crazier, right? We've heard crazier. So
once again, it's just like you don't want your black heroes to be lying to you. You know what I mean?
Because
technically, like, you know, when I drive to work and everything, I have BLS on. And who's at that time? It's Steve Harvey, the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You know, I never, it's not necessarily that I was like a Steve Harvey fan like that. Oh, he's on radio. I need to listen to him. It just so happens that the type of music that they're playing, I more relate to versus Hot 97. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm not into this trap music or whatever. You know, it is what it is. In the morning time, you know, I want to hear my 90s. I want to hear my R&B. I want to hear. And so then because of that, by default, now I'm here listening to Steve Harvey. Now I'm like entranced into the Steve Harvey world. I guess now I'm a woman of a certain age. I'm pretty much kissing 50. I'm not quite there yet, but you know, I'm right there. I'm seeing it. And it's just like, now I'm like following a man by default. And so therefore with this whole Cat Williams thing, I feel like I am kind of invested, you know, in a sense of like, Cat, where are you trying to go with this? Are you just doing this because you have comedy specials coming up?
Or a book coming out, Cat. Like,
where are we going with this?
Yeah, I mean, So to be very honest, I've never been the biggest fan of Steve Harvey. Like when he had like the TV show back in the day, I watched it, yes. But after he kind of broke out of that and went into this whole new world, I've never been like, I don't know, there was always something about him that I didn't really take to. I always kind of felt like maybe he was a little full of it as well too. Mm-hmm. And gimmicky. I'm not a big fan of people who are gimmicky. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's like I can sense some kind of gimmick, I'm not necessarily for you. So I don't necessarily hate the man, but I've never been like a number one fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Kat, outside of him, you know, being on the brown liquor when he was doing
because what's his name? Shan. Yeah, I don't even know what the guy's name is. He was like, all right, let's take another one. Let's do another one.
And he was like, open him up. No.
Yes. I was like, you're fueling the fire here.
That's the truth.
Where's the water? Because it's just like.
I didn't see water.
There was no water. You know, and then it seemed like as though then he wanted to play the devil's advocate. And be like, right. Oh no, but Kat. And then Kat is like, yeah, but when you had so-and-so on the show, you allowed him to speak and
right.
say things about me. Mm-hmm. So I'm here now to clean up my name. That's all I'm doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so I know people question the motive of Kat for going in the way that he did, because I mean, you could have had the interview, you could have addressed whatever was pertaining to you, but he went deep into things that we were just like, oh, whoa.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. And I know that some of the things that he's brought up are still trending, because now I'm seeing interviews with like Marlon Wayans and all these people addressing the black. Yeah. So he had talked about how, and this is where Ricky Smiley came in, he talked about black men in dresses and how Hollywood was basically like, listen, like, you want to go far, you want to do this, then you're going to wear a dress. And so they were like, I think he gave a scenario and he was like, but the next time, what was Ricky Smiley wearing? Mm-hmm. A dress. So he went down this like rabbit hole a bit of the black men in women's attire. And I guess it was maybe to signal the fact that, you know, is that the demasculation or emasculation of
right.
men.
Right. Because he had mentioned that Ricky Smiley has been playing this old woman character for years, same as Tyler Perry is playing, you know, Madea. For years and years. But then we can go down the line. Jamie Foxx had one. Martin Janene, you know what I mean? Like, we know these characters. Maybe it's something that's embedded in us and our what we find as funny.
Right.
All of these characters all of these comedians, other than Steve Harvey, I believe, and Cedric the Entertainer, I don't remember him wearing a dress. A lot of these comedians, that's what they did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dave was just playing crackheads every day, but he's just crackhead, but he wasn't wearing a dress.
No. But I think that's what he's maybe signaling, like, even maybe as far back as that. It's like, you want to go far, you want to do this. Because look at Eddie Murphy as well.
Eddie Murphy was the king of that.
Yeah, but look at their careers maybe compared to those who didn't. I don't know. So maybe that's what he was trying to say. But since then, Marlon Wayans was on The Breakfast Club talking about defending, you know, black men in dresses. He's like, you know, Mrs. Doubtfire, when Robin Williams was Miss Doubtfire, it's like the white people, they praise their whites when they're in drag, or not, I mean, not saying drag, but when they're wearing,
when they're playing, you know, a character,
playing a character. Mm-hmm. But when black people, you know, try to do the same thing, now it's an open forum. It's, you know, it's all these different things. And so he went on to talk about how White Chicks is a classic, and people are debating whether or not White Chicks is a classic. But, you know,
I don't know if it's a classic.
I wouldn't call it a classic, but.
But I mean, it's something that we remembered, and that they literally were in full costume dressed as a woman, you know, and experiencing the white woman experience. Let's just say that.
Right.
I don't know. And it's so funny that that he brought that up because, yes, technically they were in a dress, but I don't even feel like it compares to like them playing a black woman in a dress. I just thought that's how they were just trying to play black, a white woman.
Yeah. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as like, oh my gosh, these black men are, but some people do go that deep, right? They go that deep and are just like the psychology of it all for a black man to be in a women's attire and to play women. Like what is that? What is Hollywood trying to do? And maybe there is an agenda. I don't know. Even with the white people, like Robin Williams, who was playing.
Because Robin Williams is no longer here anymore. Right. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like there's pressures that are happening behind the scenes with all of these actors, comedians and whatnot. Right. And there are decisions that they made possibly, you know, to advance their career and possibly later on their soul did not sit right with it. Right.
Right.
You don't know. Robin Williams is not here to speak on it.
Comment on it, yeah. You
know, but I know that everyone who's spoken about Robin Williams said how he was so loved. You know what I mean? So it's just like Hollywood is the one that's in control of these people. I don't believe that these people are like, I'm going to do this. Or maybe, you know, in some cases like Jamie Foxx or Martin, they were actually playing people that they knew, from my understanding.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nene is somebody that they knew.
Right.
You know?
And the thing too, though, I mean, if we're talking about comedy, I don't see how a woman playing Shanae would have had the same comedic effect.
No,
the level of comedy for me came from the fact that you had this man playing Shanae, this man playing, you know,
Madea, he was playing, Tyler Perry said that he was playing or imitating his aunt.
Right.
That was his aunt, the character, the gun wheeling aunt. Like she was like that. There was something because I think I watched one of his documentaries. There was an episode where his aunt actually pulled out on somebody, and that's how she was. And so, therefore, he was pulling from her. So these are people that they've seen in their lives, and they're imitating it. Like you said, I don't think it would have been as funny if a woman did it versus a man doing it, because when a man is playing a woman, so to speak, the role is more exaggerated.
Right, right. And that's where the comedy lies. And that's why, you know, we keep going back.
Like, you know, we know it works. We like it. We go back for more. We laugh. We go home. We feel happy. Start it all over again. Like, not everything can be a Spike Lee movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, where it's like, I'm thinking about it. What does it mean? You know, Spike Lee's in the movie. Just like, it can't all be like that.
Hey. But
it is.
But I think to speak to something you mentioned earlier, I do think that something's on the horizon for Cat Williams, because people bring up these controversies when they have something in the works. Because right now, Cat Williams is still trending. There's whole memes and quotes that I'm like life quotes that I will probably forever use that were dropped by Cat Williams. And people are still doing interviews.
Right.
On platforms addressing something that Cat Williams said weeks ago. So
getting the media that I feel that he's never gotten before.
No. And this could have all been very strategic. It could have all, and I'm not saying that anything he's saying is a lie, because I haven't actually heard, I mean, at least as of last week, I haven't heard of anybody come out and say, this is a lie of what he said. Yeah, they just, you know, they had their commentary on him,
right. But
they did not dispute, in a sense, they did not, you know, bring facts to show that what Cat Williams said was untrue.
On top of that, let's be clear. I don't feel that Cat Williams said anything that was very disparaging, just more so on the sense of like, this is what they said about me, and I'm here to clear my name. You said that Cedric the Entertainer, let's say, for example, that all his stuff is, I guess you could say it's stuff that he wrote. And he's just saying, hey, I know for a fact that Cedric came to my show several years prior, watched my skit, congratulated me in the back. And then several years later, he went and did my skit word for word. You thought that Steve Harvey had hair. I'm here to tell you he doesn't have hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like that's how Cat was going at it. Like, okay, I'm just just pulling out my receipts. You said that. I'm telling you that this is what it is.
Yeah, he pulled a lot of receipts. I do think he added a little extra than the receipts, which is why some people were like, whoa. I think he did go a little extra. But again, nobody has come out, at least not that I've seen,
right,
to think that the little
there was extra. Anything that he said that necessarily will, quote unquote, damage someone's career. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing like surviving Cat Williams. You know what I mean? It's just like Cat was out in these streets and he had a platform and they gave him a mic and they gave him some brown juice and they said, go. And homie was just like laying it out and he stayed within the comedian realm. He did not go out and, you know, whatever and try to, because there was a lot of comedians that he could have brought up. Maybe I just didn't see it. Like he didn't bring up, did he bring up Chris Rock? Like,
he did talk about Chris Rock. Yeah, okay. he went in. And that's the thing. Like, so the thing is, like, when you're talking about artists, what we might not deem as, like, you know, reputational harm, for them it is, because all they have is their comedy, all they have is their art. So even accusing somebody of, like, stealing their skit is probably, like, the capital punishment in their world, because, like, that's all they are, is their art. So I think that's why a lot of them have come out to clap back, because it's like, dude, like, it's almost as if they're just like, yo, like, you're breaking code. Like, what are you doing? You know, this is all we do. Like, a lot of them only survive off their shows.
Right.
Because
we
haven't seen them in no movies.
Exactly. Unless it's like some, snake in a plane or something like that, some random movie or something.
But the crazy part, though, is that I don't know. Maybe Cat Williams bringing up their names might actually do a little something for their pockets, because people might want to go see what, you know, let me go see what Cat was talking about. Mm-hmm. So who knows? He might have just done a community service for the comedian world.
You know what? You're probably right, you know, because what's happening is that he's putting out people's names that probably people have not spoken mm-hmm. about in a long time. I mean, maybe in the Black community we have, but, you know, now that he's trending, others are seeing what we may have known or seen for forever. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you want to do. A lot of these people want to break out of just the Black scene and want to, you know, merge on into other audiences, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And because that's where the money is at. We can't stay on BET forever.
Girl, I can't tell you the last time I watched the BET.
I don't even watch TV. Anymore, so I don't know. But I'm just telling
I don't even know what's going
it's
on.
Like it starts on BET, and then you gotta, you know, because remember that's where all the comedy shows used to be on.
Yeah,
used to be on BET.
Yeah,
Comedy View and some other shows. It started on BET, and then afterwards, then all of a sudden Netflix want to get into the action, and now they're having these specials or Showtime, whatever, you know, pay per view, you know. So that's where the money is at.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, we will see, I guess, what happens with this Cat Williams thing. But I think that ultimately I think he already has shows that are like sold out. So like this is probably, you know, I don't want to say it's a stunt that was based on, you know, lies. I think that he just said what he said. And, you know, people are kind of like, people are feeling some type of way about it. And so whatever.
Some kind of way about it. But you know what? I'm not mad at it, because listen, it's entertaining. We need something to talk about.
I mean, if Jada could do it, you know, why not Kat? You know, stir up
some. Listen, they done took away her red table. She needs to continue to bring in the income.
She's looking for a new table. She's looking for a new table. That's
why. She done embarrassed her husband so bad. Wait a minute. Wait, are they still married? You know what I mean? Like, you know,
because
in her mind, she's still with Tupac.
Well, I mean, what's her new name? She's Jada Pickett Smith Shakur.
Shakur, yes. Shakur. Yes, you know, she's reliving.
Or maybe Shakur Smith. I don't know. Maybe it's Shakur Smith.
Listen, you know, a lot of things that we see, you know, on TV or social media, it's fabricated, right? You know, and I feel like a lot of people are exhausted of carrying on. With all of the topics that we brought up, we can pretty much say that it seems that each and every one that we've discussed has been living a double life in some sense or another, or carrying some forms of secrets or whatever the case may be. And it's just coming out.
Yeah. I think that's humanity in general, right? It's just the fact that because they're celebrities, it's just much more interesting for us. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, and that's probably why people relate so much to them. It's because, you know, this is indicative of, like, they're probably living double, triple lives. Like, none of this stuff is like new under the sun, but, you know, people love to watch others, I guess, squirm in a sense. They like to see like other people's lives play out. And that's exactly what's happening between Kat, between Jada, between the Reverend Jakes, Jonathan, you know, what is it? Megan
Good. Megan Coretta Scott.
Yeah, Megan Coretta, you know, Scott Jr. King. Diddy, like, that's exactly what's just happening. Like, they're, you know, their lives are on the big screens. And so every flaw, every issue, everything is just under a microscope for us to kind of dissect.
Right. Everything is. And the reality is, even though that we're talking about them, at the end of the day, they're still human beings and have feelings and,
yeah,
and whatnot. And, you know, like I keep on saying, I feel like I've said this so many times. I feel sorry for these people. I feel sorry for the victims. I feel sorry for the ones who are being accused of doing things, because I think the reality is, I feel that the world just allows so much to happen and they let you keep going and going and going until they don't need you anymore and they spit you out.
Right.
And I feel like that's what's happening with a lot of these people. They put you on a pedestal. They don't say no to you. And then when the time comes, when they want to pull the rug, it's
they pull the rug. Yeah. Ooh, Chile.
Like, you're done. And that's it, you know?
It's it. All right. Well, I mean, I feel like there's definitely a lot more to talk about, but I think today, like we've said, a mouthful. I think it'll be a very interesting 2024, that I will say. We started off out the gate with Kat just like shooting, just shooting.
Yeah.
Shooting from the hip. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these things play out.
You know, I just want to say that before we, you know, end off with Kat, do you remember how he also spoke about he was basically doing missionary work in Haiti and spoke cradle? Did you hear that?
Yeah, like, and
I was like, what and how?
People were like, Kat is just doing too much, because then he also read 3,000 books when he was.
Yes, like, I was just like, this is like mental. I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. He's possibly manic.
Yeah. I
said, okay. Possible he went to Haiti. I mean, Kanye went to school in China, from my understanding, for a while, which I did not know. Right? Okay, fine. But then now you're over here reading 3,000 books and you were the translator for the schools and this and that. And they said that he was also, at least what Chan was reading, that he was like a genius at whatever age.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that his IQ was actually really high, and that his mother, I think his mother was a teacher and his father was a doctor, or the reverse. Mother, doctor. Right. But both of his parents were well-to-do, highly educated individuals, and that his IQ is one of the highest. That you know, I guess that there is. And so they're saying that, you know, it's not far-fetched with somebody who has an IQ. But the thing is, I mean, I can't verify that. This is whoever was putting this information out. I don't know how they know it, but that they said his piss is, no, not even a doctor. His father was a scientist and his mother was a teacher, and that his IQ was pretty high. I mean, at the end of the day, he could have read 3,000 books, because we don't know how many pages these books were.
That could have been a coloring book.
He didn't say. These could have been, yeah, you know, there's a lot of pictures in these books. I don't know. But I mean, at the
and
end
how
of the
did day, he remember 3,000? Why was that such a key number? Like, did he write it down, document it, and so on? I mean, that's just interesting that they.
Yeah. But he could have.
He could have.
He's eccentric.
Yes. And also, you know, with the whole, they say like people who are quote unquote geniuses, they're on the verge of
plurality of persons considered as a whole.
Sorry, girl. Siri be acting up. I don't know why she thought that this was the time to give me the definition of people. You said people and it was like, a people, Liz.
Well, this is the reason why I turn off Alexa, because you know Big Brother is listening.
Siri is in my computer. She is in my computer. She be popping up. I don't know. This chick be popping up whenever she feel like it. So she wanted to let me know what people meant, since you said.
Yeah, people. Thank you. Since we didn't know.
<I'll be serious. laughs>
But either way, I think this was a healthy hot topics
episode.
Bagayo grave, yeah. It's wild in these streets. Definitely. And it's only gonna get wilder because none of these things have been resolved.
No, right. This is extended version right now.
Yeah.
We went from 2023 into 2024 and it's only January.
Yeah, it's only January. January has always been a very interesting month. Like, you know, didn't Kobe die in January? Like the year just started off like, you know, it's a very interesting month. Like there's good, but there's also like, I mean, the month isn't over, praying that nothing crazy happens. Like nobody's actually like dying tragically, but it is a very interesting month. But either way, ending on a high note, we'll take it back up.
Yes, before Siri jumps back in and has a full-on conversation.
Right. Yeah. Seriously, because she's just like, I want to be part of this.
Right.
Either way, so our hot topics will probably be, not really sure how often we'll have it on, like as a full episode. You know, sometimes we do try to incorporate it in every episode, but as a full hot topics episode, I think as the craziness happens, you know, we will be, we will do our best to stay on top of it. But with that being said, Freddie, thank you so much for being a part of today's Bagayo Grave Hot Topic special. Oh,
thank you for having me. It's always so much fun to be able to dissect these topics.
And with that being said, everyone, I will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.